All righty, good morning, church. As you're grabbing your seat, the theme for this morning is celebration. It already sounds like people are celebrating. And I just want to invite you, turn to your neighbor right now and say, let's party. I love it. Turn to your second choice now. Tell them you want to party too. For people that are online, just shout it as loud as you can so that people can know wherever you are that you're ready to party. As Dane introduced, I am Gary Jones. I'm the youth pastor, and just in the whole theme of celebration, my wife has a really good reason to celebrate this morning. We get to celebrate the fact that we have a two-year-old, and at 3 a.m., she was walking around the house, and she just walks up to me and goes, "Hey, Dad," like completely awake. It's pretty hilarious. This morning, I was getting up about 6:45. She's like, "Hey, just to let you know," the baby like went down at like 6 a.m. So my wife is not quite here yet, but she will be, and I'm sure she will be ready to celebrate along with the rest of us. It's pretty funny. I was talking to a friend, and they said, no matter what happens in 2021, if anybody invites me to anything, my response is going to be just one requirement: is it fun? And then if they answer yes, then I'll go to it. And I kind of feel like, I don't know, does anybody in the room feel kind of tired from 2020? Like, raise your hand if you feel a little tired. It doesn't even feel like the new year. I was meeting with some high schoolers yesterday, and they were just kind of like, oh yeah, it's January 2nd. That's kind of crazy. And I got a question for you guys to be honest about. There's plenty of be honest questions for this morning, but who still has their tree up? Anybody still got? Yes, look at these. Man, people online, I know you're looking at your tree too, but there's so many hands just got raised. Guess what? It's okay. Christmas is such a good celebration. It's okay to be tired. And I know you don't have your tree up because you're loving Christmas. You're just tired, but it's good. Life is real. And so here's the thing this morning. We're going to look at God's word and what it says about celebration and the reason to celebrate. And if you went through the Advent journal, our church put out an Advent journal in December. And if you went through that here this past week, I got to write for the last section. And I admitted that my first response to adversity is not always to praise God. I said I believe tough times are often when we see clearly the need to celebrate. And I'll even add this. When we go through tough times, it's probably the greatest need. Like, it's the need to celebrate even more. And when comfort in life is gone, we're driven to seek the Lord. We must not only thank God in the wilderness, but we must thank God for the wilderness. And it's pretty crazy, the situations that we get in that allow us to see our deepest longing, our deepest need in life, which is to be in the presence of God. And so at this point, it's the third. I don't have any promises for 2021. I've seen plenty of people's statements for what they think about the year, and someone's meme that said, no one say, like, I'm so glad 2020 is over, just kind of open the door and walk in the room and, like, hope no one notices kind of towards 2021. But at this point, I have no promises of how it's going to be, but I know what kind of person I want to be. One of my friends sent me a text a couple days ago. It was in December. It was a quote of somebody saying, just as the year ended, they said, even if next year is just like this year, I won't be. Even if 2021 doesn't change, I will. And my friend said, I've actually never been more eager to be made into the image of Christ or a copy of Christ than this year. And as I can recall Pastor Josh saying as we went through the Exodus series, there's a reason that God is taking us through this season, through the wilderness. He's doing something. And so the circumstances of 21, it's just like 2020. It's out of our control, but our control is how we respond to this. That's definitely up to us. So like I said, this morning we're going to celebrate with a psalm of praise. And what psalms of praise do is a couple things. They express that our confidence as believers is solely in the Lord. They show that He stays the same even when circumstances of life are constantly changing. And they tell that our reason for hope is not in ourselves, but it's in God. And so before we dive into this, I want to pose a question for you to ponder, to think about this morning. Do your praises exceed your requests to God? So think about that for a minute. Do your praises exceed your requests for God? I read someone said, a person who prays much has much to praise about. And so in Psalm 145 this morning, even if you're new to church, if you've been coming for a while, the book of Psalms, it's right here in the middle. It's a collection of 150 poems that were written to be sung, and it contains a wide variety of emotions. I think it's kind of perfect for the season that a lot of us are in. It contains emotions of love and sorrow and dependence upon being in desperate times. It contains emotions of fear and of trust. It's just got a lot of emotions in there. And that being said, there's a lot of different kinds of psalms. So there's psalms of lament. There's psalms of thanksgiving. There's royal psalms, historical psalms, prophetic psalms. And again, Psalm 145 is specifically a psalm of praise. It's one of the psalms. There are several of them that are written as an acrostic. So the Hebrew language, the Hebrew alphabet, that's the original language the psalm was written in. It starts, each verse begins with the successive letters of the alphabet. And it's actually been noted by many people that this would be a good cause, or this would be an easy way to remember the psalm. I read someone suggested that this was not just a psalm of David, but it was the psalm of David. And it was a psalm of David that went with him, or even someone said it was the crown jewel of his psalms of praise. So in any rate, since it's poetry, it definitely is to be sung, and it follows a form. And the form that this one follows is A, B, A, B. And what it's saying is, this is a call to praise, or a charge to praise, and then this is the reason for praise. And so I'm going to ask you to stand out of respect for God's word as I read Psalm 145. Psalm 145 says this: I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. And they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. You may have a seat. So again, it's not hard to see, it's not hard to notice from this text that it's a psalm of praise. And so the main goal this morning is to let God's people admire his attributes. And in this psalm specifically, his main attribute is God's goodness. What's the need for this morning? Has there ever been another year where it seemed like more things were constantly changing? I know I don't need to remind anyone the happenings of the past year. As I was just reflecting, and I was like, man, it was a year of change. There was so much change. It's hard to even, I feel like that's the reason people could be tired right now. It's like, well, things just keep changing. And maybe you experience, there's so many experiences that different people could have in 2020. I know some people actually might have experienced some great things in the year. They may have had business explosions. They may have had just a lot of good things happen in their family. I know people had births in 2020. People had marriages. And so they're just like Psalms is full of a wide range of emotions. I'm sure there's a wide range of things that happen to people. in this room, online, in our church, in our country, in our world. But maybe you experienced loss of a loved one. Maybe, I know talking to a lot of students that they talk about just experience the loss of their education, the loss of normalcy in school or social interactions. I've talked to one unicorn student who said, I love school online. And so, yeah, there's unicorns out there, but they're few and far between. People have experienced job loss. I know loss of family time has been something that's been reflected upon. Raise your hand if you had different family circumstances during the holidays than you normally would have this year. Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate. I was talking with one of our youth parents, and they said, yeah, we haven't seen our family in a year and a half. We'd normally see them at this time, but because of this, it could be years. And so there's just a lot of loss in different situations. I thought about parents that had babies born during the pandemic and how it was awesome that our church rallied together, and I know some community groups had drive-through baby showers and were able to go by and honk and wave, and it was a huge testament to people on their street. Like, what is this? And they're like, oh, it's my community group. And it was an awesome way to show people what it's like to have community. But at the same time, I think about how the parents, in some ways, were raising that new child in isolation. The kid wasn't able to be around other kids, and people are still this way a lot. The younger kids are in isolation. And so what do we do with a year like this that has a lot of loss? When we look towards God, how can we say emphatically, it's time to celebrate? Well, the answer is we have to rightly see who God is. We have to see that even in our circumstances, and if you've been around church very much, you've heard this phrase before, God is good. And it's certainly, I've certainly heard that. Have you guys heard the call and response when people say God is good all the time? And then the response is all the time, God is good. Yeah, people have heard that before. Well, it's a phrase that, whether you've heard it or not, it's a hard thing if it just settles as head knowledge about God being good. Like, if it doesn't permeate our inner being and affect everything in our life to where even our outward actions, if it's not coming from an outflow of the heart, they're a counterfeit. And so we want our actions to flow from what's inside, and we want whatever our heart's full of to be this outflowing. And so this idea that God is good, it's got to move from the head to the heart. It's got to be what we know down deep inside. And so if you think about that head knowledge alone, that doesn't honor God. We should have love and trust and delight and longing for full enjoyment of Him. And so I'm about to dive in this passage. Before I do, I'd love to remind you, just as a church, even where we've been in the past month, we've been in the book of John, and we talked about the theme of how God came down so that we could live. And we see that Jesus was with God in the beginning. He was life, and He came down to earth. And our celebration at Christmas was about how He came down to earth as a baby so that we could have life, so that we could truly be children of God. And that full enjoyment of God, that understanding that He is good, not only just the understanding, but deep within our souls, it can only come through our relationship with Jesus. And Paul said it well in Ephesians when he tells us the appropriate response of this, of the idea that Jesus came, is to sing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as I walk through this psalm and go through the verses and talk about God's goodness, just reflect about asking yourself, how can I make these praises my praises? And so if you read verse 1 says, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. It opens by stating the theme of joy and celebration. What's interesting about this, cool about the word extol, when it says, I will extol you, my God and King, he's saying, I will praise enthusiastically. Like, it's not just like a, yeah, God's pretty good. This is something that comes over as being, I'll praise enthusiastically. And he serves, this passage actually serves because it's been used throughout generations as a song to recite, to sing, to praise God with. It serves as a pledge of believers saying, I will do this. Like, I will praise the Lord in my worship. If you read verse 2, it says, every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. No matter how busy we are, no matter how many things are going on in life, no matter what is in our life, it is, again, a declaration, no matter how sorrowful. Praising God will not be an afterthought. And the word resolute comes to mind. The psalmist was resolute, which, by the way, is even a thing this year to have New Year's resolutions? Have you guys talked about that as a family? I was meeting with these high schoolers yesterday, like I said, and we were like, oh yeah, resolutions, that's a thing. I feel like we forgot that this year, but how long will the resolution last? I read about this psalm, that it would actually be said by many Jews every single day, twice in the morning and once in the evening. Psalm 145 would. It was not getting forgotten. So not just every day, but three times a day. And so David, he's showing us here this praise habit. He's saying, this is my number one job today and the most delightful of my comforts. The comforts being things that truly comfort me, not like couches and air conditioning and the niceties of life, but things that actually give me peace down deep. And so David, yeah, he was God's chosen king, but he also chose to be a king who saw God as his king. And in verse 3, we read as he goes on, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Started thinking about that word, unsearchable, and I actually read someone's quote that said, when we cannot by searching find the bottom, we must sit down at the brink and adore the depth. Thinking about a well, when we can't find the bottom, we must sit down at the brink and adore the depth, or the sea, or a body of water. And I just reflected on this, and I thought, man, does our culture even have time for this? When's the last time that we looked at something and thought, I really need to examine this. I'm just going to sit and watch this. And certainly, I think it can be a tendency in our culture to push the pace and to go hard. And if you go hiking with any of the high schoolers from Northwest Hills on any of the trails around here, you'll find out pretty quick that they're not trying to just gaze upon the beauty of every fern. Like, they're flying, they're marching on. And I think it's pretty awesome. Need to, like, keep hiking with them so I can stay in shape. But just the idea that I need to slow down. Like, I need to look and examine the unsearchableness of God. And in noticing God's greatness and how it never ends, we do notice more when we slow down and when we look at him. And I think that was an amazing benefit of things that happened in 2020. We were able to slow down. Families were able to sit together. People talked about how nice it was to not be on the rush, on the move all the time. And so, just as we pray through, like, how can I make these my praises? How am I noticing how God's greatness is unsearchable? Moving on in verse number 4-7. This is my favorite section of this psalm. And specifically, verse 4, I've read about, I saw an entire sermon on this psalm. I read about how a prominent pastor got his calling from God when he read this verse in this psalm. And so verse number 4 says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I think it's a beautiful picture in this passage. You think about teachers that you've had in church. You think about maybe a children's pastor or a youth pastor or a mentor, or maybe it's a teacher in Christian school. But you see one generation to the next, like, it means everybody in that generation, whether it be parents to children, whether it be old to young. And I've just seen so many people's lives that's a testament to this passage, to this verse. He doesn't just say that the older generation should teach the younger generation, but that the older generation should praise God's works to another generation. And I read that and I thought, man, how am I doing in that? Am I communicating about God's goodness, about God's holiness and righteousness? Am I communicating in my praises that he is this way, or am I just teaching it like it's the head knowledge again? And so I think just a challenging verse to read. One generation shall commend or praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. It's our job to share. Everyone in this room, it is your job to share what God has done to the next generation. You talk to people about when they came to know the Lord. I think about a youth leaders meeting that we had, and you ask everybody in the room when they came to know the Lord, and statistically, people come to the Lord when they're younger. And so whether you came to the Lord when you're young or whether you're old, it is our duty, it is our job to teach the younger generation. And it's pretty cool because God personally touches each generation. Like, God will personally reveal himself to each generation. But oftentimes, God does that through the horizontal relationship of us showing others, of us teaching the younger. And so, just remembering, even in verse number 4, it's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. Sharing God's goodness with those people around us can be what leads us to repent and turn away and turn to him. And verse 5, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Again, David makes another declaration. In this psalm, it's used as a model for us. And what you can ask yourself from this verse, what glorious splendor of God's majesty will I meditate? What wondrous works will I ponder? Because oftentimes, I don't know if it's just me, I get stuck in these patterns of thought, but oftentimes we meditate on the wrong things. We think about things over and over in our head that are not actually the truth for us, that are not actually what not only we need to hear, what God wants us to hear, what's best for us, but we meditate on the wrong things. We get caught up in our problems. It's like when you're mountain biking and you're going down a trail and there's this thing called trail siding. And if you've ever rode a mountain bike before, you probably know what this concept means. It also works for dirt biking. And it just basically means if you're riding down a trail and there's a big rock or a big root or a big obstacle in the trail, if you stare straight at that obstacle, like, oh no, I need to miss that, I need to miss that, I need to miss that, oftentimes you hit, oftentimes it goes bad for you. But if you look forward to where you're going, where you're supposed to be, to where you're going to be, then you'll just roll over it. And I think a lot of times in life, we do focus on that rock, we do meditate on the roadblocks and the tough things in life. And so there's a meditation illustration, another one that I think displays what God's word does in our lives really well, and it's the illustration of tea and water. And what you can do is you can see yourself as the cup of water, the cup of hot water, and you can see God's word as the tea. If you take the tea and just dip it down in the hot water one time, that's like hearing God's word, one little dip. Some flavor is absorbed, but not as much as could be through a good soaking or a good meditation. And so the more frequently the tea enters the hot water, the more effect it has. So in verse number 5, when David says, I will meditate, I decided to just journal through this psalm once a day, every day this week. And the one that continually stuck out to me is, I will meditate, I will meditate, I will meditate. Even to the point where I took the advice of a pastor that says, when you're trying to meditate and memorize scripture, specifically on memorization, he said, don't just read the verses, but make it go with you. Even the idea of David having the psalm and taking it and making it go with him. And so I have some cards that I put in my pocket that I've just been deciding, you know what, everywhere that I am, I'm going to have this card in my pocket. And whenever I have some free time, I'll pull it out and I'll be able to read it and I'll be able to memorize it and I'll be able to take it with me. So think of that illustration like the tea, just one dip, it gets a little flavor, but it's not as much effect as if it just has a really good soak. So again, this is my favorite section in verses 6. He goes on, they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. When he says they here, he's talking about David's zeal, is talking about just the others would be provoked. He was declaring, when I'm gone, and Pastor Josh said this morning when we prayed, when we're gone, when we're not in this room, when we're not in this space, when we're not in this church anymore, God is going to keep going, and people's praises will keep going up towards him. And he's saying, they'll keep it up when I'm gone. I've been going to church and been blessed to be able to be part of this family for 1 year here, and I just reflected. I reflected on so many different things that I saw this week, this year. I reflected on a middle schooler that I saw just completely, unashamedly surrendered in worship towards God. Thought about a sixth grader, multiple sixth graders that read through the entire book of Mark and were excited about it and journaled about it. I thought about another sixth grader in our church who's been memorizing at school. He's been memorizing and he's got entire Psalms down. And so he just shows up to church and he's super stoked and he just rattles off this entire Psalm. I thought about some high schoolers that are really engaging their mind about what the Bible says. They're committed. You can tell when you talk to them, wheels are turning in their head and they're thinking and they're diving in and they're digging and they're searching and they want to know it. Think about some college students, just completely full of passion. Like, I've never been so excited about the Word of God. And I'm confident, like David, that the next generation will continue to praise him even after we're all gone. And I think it's amazing that it's not just the younger generation. There's so many people in our church, so many spiritual fathers and mothers, that it's a blessing to be part of a church with many generations. But they're coming alongside and they're teaching and they're training. And I'm hearing stories about how, yes, I was meeting with my mentor and they said this. And I talked to this person in the church that's seasoned in life and they showed me this and they prayed with me and they believe in me. And I'm hearing about parents that are dedicated in prayer so much that their kids see it and they're devos in the morning and they're serving with their family. And you ask them the question, hey, how are you practicing the disciplines in their family? And they all have different answers. Well, we're really showing our daughter right now what it means to worship, or we're really digging into study of the Word and what God really says. And we can praise God for this. It's like this morning, we can look at this passage, we can look at verse number 6 and say, God, praise you so much, not only for what you are doing in the world, what you're doing in people's lives. And our church is just richly blessed because of so many people of all ages that are doing this exact thing. So moving to verse 7, let's live this out. Verse 7 says, they shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. I pray that we'd be believers, that would often recall what God's doing. We'd often recall God's goodness and be moved to share it, not just by our head knowledge, but by the emotions of, look what God did in my life. Look what God did in this situation. And like it says here, and we're going to do this at the end of the service, that we'd be moved to celebrate this, to sing it out, to sing aloud of God's righteousness. Verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And this verse has such a amazing, beautiful gospel light that shines forth because we now know, because of the New Testament, and we've been studying in John about how God came down and the Word became flesh. The Word was made flesh. And because of God's gift of grace, we can have life. And so we can see a bigger picture of this whole story, that God made man to be with him, that man lived their life and rebelled and sinned and fell short of God. And this isn't just, if you're a believer, it's not just a past action, but we often rebel, we often forget, we often fall short of God. And God didn't make a way for us to be with him because of our awesome deeds, but he made a way because he loves us. And so he sent his son down and paid the price so we could have life. And in this whole story, when God sent Jesus to die in our place, and he died and rose again, we read in Romans all the way a year ago, back in February, it's hard to even remember what the world was like, but we read that we're justified and made right freely by his grace. And so verse 8 again, it says, God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And you can read this this specific verse. It's a verse that happens throughout the Bible, just talking about how good God is, how gracious he is to us. And so if we shine the light of Jesus on all these previous verses, we can notice not only the call to praise, but the reason for praise. And so kind of going back to the end verses, and I'm not going to read them all, but if 2020 for you has been a really brutal year, like if it's been tough, if there's been things that have been hard, there's some beautiful truths in this passage. In verse 9, he does say, the Lord's good to all, and his mercy is over all that is made. And it's beautiful because God's chosen people, it's not just a message and a truth for them to keep their own, but even as our vision, our church says, it's for us to make him known amongst all the world. And so if we praise God just for the works around us, like he says in verse 10, we should also very much, that should be flowing out of for the works that God does specifically in us. And verse 11, it says, I'll tell of your power. I'll tell of your glory. I keep asking myself the question, how am I doing this? Like, how well am I doing at showing God's goodness, at praising him for who he is? And so the hope for you that are having a tough time, the hope for us that have fallen down, that need picked up, verse 14, the Lord holds up all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Yeah, it's just, many children have experienced this. It's not just a physical pain or a tough situation in life, or it's not just what we're going through, but it's something that's deeper than that. It's if you're struggling with the weight and burden of sin, that God says, your hope is not in your circumstances. It's not in whether you can pick yourself up out of this pit or not. Your hope is in the fact that God has come in the form of Christ, and by faith, you can be raised up, and God will lift you up. It's also a thread that's all throughout Scripture. And so this passage, as it says who God is, as we look at God's goodness and his character and everything he's done, in verse 18 and 19, it says he's not only near, but he will satisfy. And there's a theme here that David actually prays in other psalms. In Psalm 103, he talks about the benefits of knowing God. And one of the benefits, he says, is salvation. And it's interesting the way he words it. When you would read it, you would think, did he forget? Like, is he trying to remember or understand that he's saved? And actually, the way he says it, it's talking about the true salvation of being in the presence of God. And he says that basically it wasn't something that he forgot, but he understood, he knew that his heart, because of the drives and passions and struggles in life, his heart would forget the things that his mind knew. And so he was reminding himself again, in God's presence, that's where the fullness of joy is. That's where true salvation is. And so David uses all these different words in this psalm. I'm going to read them. He says, extol, bless, commend, declare, meditate, speak, pour forth, and sing aloud. And he uses all these words and all this vocabulary that he can muster to raise his praises to God. And basically, he understood this psalm, Psalm 145, all of these different words, they can't even compare to the goodness and greatness of God. And so no matter how much his efforts that he can put forth to say how good God is, it's not just his words, but he's also enlisting a generation. He's also saying, not only am I praising God with these words, but everyone forever will continue praising God and keep this praise of him and his goodness going. And so just this morning, I would encourage you, something you can do this week, an action item, an application. You can read Psalm 145, and you can go through the rest of the book to Psalm 150. And the question at the beginning, are your praises outweighing your requests? It's actually interesting. We know the Psalms was an edited book. Like, these different poems were compiled in a certain order. And the order that we have here at the end, there's five prayers, there's five petitions, five requests that are made in the previous psalms. In Psalm 145, and then through the end, they're all praises. And so there's five requests, six praises. And you can this week read Psalm 145 if you start it tomorrow. You can go through the end of the book and meditate and think about how I make a lot of requests. I ask God for a lot of things. But I can choose to make my praises outweigh the request. Because whether the circumstances change or not, God doesn't. And so David just models a deep trust that God has been good and will continue to be good in the world. And so as I close, I know it's sometimes it's hard to preach about God's goodness, because it's just like, what can I say that hasn't already been said? What can we meditate and think about? And I think it's also fair to raise the question or the just talk about doubt. It's sometimes hard to completely feel that God is good. And so I'll end with a story. And if it sounds familiar, I shared this almost a year ago in February in our Romans series. But I had last year, it was actually this very day, a crazy moment where it was some of the biggest doubt I've ever had. I was driving to Portland, and I was just completely hit with tons of doubt about God, about what he was doing, about just everything in life. And as I was driving, and I just felt like my spirit was getting more and more and more crushed, I cried out to God, and I said, God, speak to me. And it was a couple minutes later, I walked into a restaurant, and I'm in this restaurant. There's nobody in there except one person, and they're sitting over here, and they just start talking as I walked in, and they said all these scriptural truths to me. They said, you're a friend to many. You love without casting judgment. You go after the one. You're Jesus to people that don't know him. And as this person told me this, I was like, what in the world? And I walked up to him, introduced myself. And so I, as much as that's wild and I had doubt and I was like, God, speak to me. And then he does that. You know what my next response was? Some more doubt. I was like, okay, this person totally just dropped truth on me. I don't know. It was supernatural how they did it. And my thought was, I don't know what to say to them. I don't have anything to say in return. And I still remember I preached Psalm 27, and in verse 14, it says, let your heart take courage. And so this woman, I said, what can I pray for you about? It's all I could think of. And she said, could you just pray that my heart takes courage? And I was like, okay, Lord, I think you're making yourself known to me here. And so the response of doubt, or the thought of doubt, I just want to encourage anybody that has it. You're not alone. You're not alone if you have doubt. And so today, even through doubts, even in circumstances that we're in, just remember that it's not just about what God has done for us, but it's about who he is. And he is good. He gives grace for each moment, not just the moments that we pray for and that we imagine how they're going to be, the moment, the exact moments that we're in. And so then he ends this psalm, David ends this psalm, he ends it just how he started it, with a declaration. He says, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And so I'm challenging us to strive to make our praises exceed our requests this year. And as an action item, as the band comes up, there is a little card on front of in your chair that you found, that was on your chair when you walked in. And it says praise on it. And this is something our church does all the time. But you can, we want to encourage you to do it today, just to think about, okay, God, this is what I have to praise you about. Maybe it's just who he is. Maybe you're just writing down a verse from Psalm 145. But as we sing, during the prayer, whenever you want to write it down, you can, if you want, put it in the box that's in the lobby. But just as an action for us to join with David and say, I will speak of the praise of the Lord. I encourage you to do that this morning. Let's bow and pray. God, you are so good to us, Lord. Your goodness is unsearchable. We think about all the things that you have done in the past, that you continue to do, Lord, that you aren't just present in our life from the moment we know you, but you've been present throughout all generations, and you'll persist. God, that these praises that we can lift up to you, these praises, God, that we were taught by the generation before, Lord, we just ask that we would pray, that we would praise you in a way that the next generation also praises you. God, that we would keep the praises going. And Lord, that we continue to grow more and more in our understanding of how good you are, and in a way that we can be faithful to you and respond to you well. God, we just thank you for another year. We thank you for so many things you're doing in our lives, and ways that you're bringing about growth while it's tough, God, while we struggle. God, ways that you're blessing us more than we ever deserve, namely with your son, Jesus, God, that we can have a relationship with you because of what he's done. And God, help us to respond to that, whether we've trusted you for a long time or if there's somebody that's never trusted in you before. God, help us respond to the fact that you loved us just as we are. You sent your son, and we can respond to that. God, our life is a freedom from that, and you show us your character so much in that relationship, that you're good, that you're gracious, merciful, slow to anger. You are abounding in love. You're a good God, and this year we will praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.